Fathers are vitally important to the body of Christ, and I'm going to take some time to explain from a woman's point of view the 10 most important practical things that a father can do in his home. Okay, this is from a woman's point of view. And I think it's important. A lot of times we hear fathers' messages, but we don't realize how, from a woman's point of view, it may be vitally important of what needs to be done. All right, so I'm going to switch off here. Can I switch the microphones? And okay. One of the things, checking one, two. Okay, one of the things that is so vitally important to children is this one thing. Number one, if you're taking notes, what I call parenting with attachment, or attachment fathering, okay? Parents, this is for parents, but it's especially for dads today. Your children will become what you are, and so it's so vitally important that young children learn through what's called modeling, okay? Modeling. Modeling behavior. You never can replace the time that needs to be spent with your children. Once you come to the point where you're walking your daughter down the aisle, it's too late. So you need to do it before that. Okay? Because once you give her away, then she becomes bonded with someone for life. And so it's vitally important, dads, that you make sure you never replace that time that you have maybe at work, or that time that you have doing something fun. You never compromise that time with your family, with your children. Never compromise that, because we have endeavored in our family, and Pastor Tom was really good at this. He was excellent at this, in taking one day a week that it was a family day. One day a week, it was just for us. It was just for our family. And we set aside that time to be able to share with Laurel, with ourselves, my husband and I, the things that were important, the things that we needed to know. So let me share with you, children are very, very valuable, but fathers, the father in the home can set the pace if necessary. Moms can fill the bill, but dads really need to do the leading. Okay? They really do need to do the leading. So number one, the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Isn't that a great promise? If you train up a child in the way they should go, dads, when they are old, they will not depart from it. Claim that promise. Stand on that word. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Remember, number two, children need to be led, not befriended. Now, many fathers, I've seen this in my own personal life. I've seen this because I've worked with dads in the daycare. I've worked with dads over the years. I've seen them when they try to be their friends and it's too premature, that it will backfire on them. You know, you cannot be a friend of someone that you must lead. So in other words, if a child is 3 or 4 year old and you want to be their friend, that's not going to work, because you need to lead them. So you need to have authority to be able to lead. And the older that they get, the more you can actually have more of a friendship with them, because they've learned your ways, because they understand, dads, what is important in the home. As the head of the home, they understand a lot of things. And so then you can actually get down and be their friend. But the Bible says the rod of correction actually drives out the evil. So what is the rod of correction? Well, there are several things. The rod of correction can be a paddle. It can be a large paddle, you know, with, in our home, it was a belt or a spanking spoon, okay? Spanking spoon kind of came out every now and then, all right? But it's got to be something that kind of brings a little bit more authority to who you are, all right? And there's nothing wrong with saying no. Dads, there's nothing wrong with saying absolutely not. This is not going to happen in our home. This is not a part of what we believe. And so you need to take some authority and mix that in with what you do and what you say with love, okay? But if there's no backbone, it causes the kids to be undisciplined. If there's no backbone, if there's no authority, if there's no rod of correction, it will cause the children to be undisciplined. And that is not something that you want. They need to have a moral compass. They need to know the difference between right and wrong. And they don't need to be your friends yet. Many people think that their child can be their friend when they're young, but that comes later. That comes later. After you've seen the discipline, after you've worked with them, then you can be their friend. Now, you will always love them. You'll always hold their hand. You'll always have fun with them. But in your mindset, you've got to remember you're the leader. Okay? You're the leader. And leading is important. Okay? Number three, one of the things fathers need to do most importantly is require that their children go to church on Sundays. It can't be the mom whooping their butt and saying, get out, get out, get out, you know. Because, see, moms have a tendency towards wanting to nurture. Moms want to nurture. They want to be the one that cuddles, the one that spends extra time, the one that's the front, you know, more a little bit more on the foundational truth of, you know, love and mercy and grace and things like this. They want to be a little softer. That's the way a mom is. That's the way she's built. So dads need to be the one that takes more authority in the home and says what is right. Okay, you're going to church. Even though you don't like it, it's not an option. We're going to honor the Lord. Church involvement comes first. It actually comes above jobs, above family, even above school events. The way the world is working now, they're holding all the school events on Sundays. Isn't that a shame? Everything's Sundays now. So you're going to have to be a good dad and rise up and say, nope, we've got our priorities right. We're going to church. This is the way of the Lord, okay? Because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is God's will? Now, children learn commitment to God as you show commitment to God. As you show your commitment to God, they'll learn that too. They'll follow. Some parents, I've seen this, especially fathers, I don't know why this would be, but dads tend to say, well, you know, they use church. If they like to go to church, they use it as a discipline. Well, if you don't finish your homework, you can't go to church. No. We've got to get the priorities right. Okay? It is Jesus first. You go to church because it's right, because God wants that. It pleases the Lord. You know, it honors the Lord, and it also honors people that you show commitment to them. So it's not an option. The church has become a sanctuary. It's a place of refuge. It's meant to represent a place where people can go when they need something. Okay? So what is it that we need? We need everything. Jesus is everything to us, okay? So require your children, most importantly, dads, stand up, have a backbone and say, no, we're going to church. Have a backbone. Have a strong backbone, because moms will then undergird, they'll come alongside and say, yes, okay? This is what dad says. Yes, we're doing this. And when you have the two in agreement, it's powerful. Dad is the one heading out, and there's no schisms. Dad's saying what needs to be said. Mom's reinforcing that. She's saying yes to it. And there you go. Okay? It's very powerful. Children have a sense of peace and order then. Okay? Number four, teaching children to respect authority is so important. Oh my goodness, take a look at this in Romans chapter 13. Dads, lead out on this. 10 things dads should know. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Whoa. Wow. That means every authority, doesn't that mean a parent, a leader, a police officer, a pastor? A teacher, These are people that are put in by God, that God has ordained, all right? So no authority will be given to you as a father unless you learn to respect authorities. Okay? This is a very sure way, dads, that you will lose respect is if you put other authorities down. Then your children will say, well, I don't have to respect you then either. You see how that goes? Do you understand that? If you don't respect authority, they're going to follow that example. So they're going to say, well, you don't respect the police officers, you know. You don't respect the teachers, the pastors, or the leaders. So why do I have to respect them? Why do I have to respect you? You see what I'm saying? How that flows? Okay, so what you do behind closed doors is especially important. Very, very important. And I really believe one of the things that my dad was really good at, and I want to honor him today here, my dad was really good at this. I never, ever heard him ever put down anyone. My mom either. When I was growing up, I never heard it. I mean, they may have talked behind closed doors about some things that needed to be, you know, worked through, you know, like maybe someone was doing me wrong or one of my brothers or sisters wrong, and so they had to work that out. But they would never bring a railing accusation against an authority. I mean, in the days that we grew up in, you know, the teachers were right. Teachers were right. You learn to respect your teacher. If you didn't like it, whether you liked it or not, whether you liked them or not, whether you liked their hairstyle or the way they talked or et cetera, et cetera, you just respected your teachers. All right? It's not that way anymore. I've just seen so much disrespect going on in the classroom, and a lot of it has to do with parents, especially dads. If dads are going to be railing at the teachers and making fun of them, or making fun of authority, it's just not a good thing. No honor will be given to them. It's an honor principle. It's an honor principle, okay? Whatever you honor will come back to you. Whatever you do for others will come back to you. So I've got to say this again and again and again. Teaching children, fathers, teach children to respect authority. Respect authority, okay? My dad was really good at this. I'll never forget one time. I think he was having a difficulty understanding what, and he was a pastor, and another associate pastor that he worked with, he didn't understand exactly what the decision was, okay, that they had made. And he was an assistant pastor, and the dad and my father was working with the lead pastor. But he would say, I don't really understand why he did that, but I am going to do that because it's right. And I picked up on that. I picked up on that attitude of respect for authority, of saying, I'm going to honor authority, and what they say is important. In Romans 13, it says every authority, every person that has that position has it for a reason. God wants that to be respected, okay? Now, number 5, teach children to be afraid of evil things. Dads, right now there's such an inundation of drugs, alcohol, premarital sex, wrong social ties, even things like swearing is just everywhere in the movies. I mean, you can't find a movie usually that doesn't have something that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. Well, first of all, don't attend a movie like that. Don't go with your child to a movie that has swearing in it, because you're actually consenting to that. You're saying, yeah, this is okay. This is fine. I agree. Let's go to this movie. Let's just sit there and watch them taking God's name in vain, saying swear words, and we're going to be entertained by that. Now, dads, lead out. This is not right. There are things, the devil will seduce you into thinking this is fun, but I remember I was very afraid of drugs, very afraid of evil things, because my dad taught me that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So somewhere down the line, you know, if you're playing around with men, and, you know, he was really strong with that, and so was my mother, you're gonna get burned somehow. If you're out of order in your sexual relations, you're gonna get burned, okay? If you're drinking before a legal age, you're gonna get reported, and somehow or another you're going to go to prison or be reported, and policemen are gonna talk to you, and it's not gonna be good. And drugs, the same thing. Drugs is just taking something that you have no idea where that material came from. It could be totally deadly to you. It could be toxic, okay? You have no idea what's in that drug. You have no idea. And so you're playing Russian roulette with your life. And who in the world would want to play around with their life and wreck their body? I mean, I thought to myself, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Why would I want to abuse my body when in the 60s, you know, LSD was a big thing. And I saw a report of someone that took LSD and was on the top of a building and thought they could fly and killed themselves. And I remember thinking, oh, dear Lord, God Almighty, what a terrible thing. And I was thinking, God, help that person. Why in the world would you think, you know, take that stuff and put your own life and kill yourself? And here my young mind is, it's 11, I'm thinking, that's repulsive, that's stupid. And I thought to myself, that's really dumb. And so you got to teach your children stuff like that. Say, yeah, somebody took drugs, was on the top of a building, thought he could fly. How stupid. It's evil. It's wrong. Because you don't know what kind of stuff you're getting. You don't know anything about that. That could wreck your body internally. Even if it was good, it could wreck your mind and kill your brain cells. I mean, it's been proven, you know, dads, tell this to your kids, it's been proven that alcohol destroys brain cells. And I need every brain cell I can get. Amen? I mean, all of us do. It destroys brain cells. And drugs that are taken in your body are toxins in your system. And it's been proven it's a toxin. Any chemical thing can be a toxin, and that's why you want to avoid all those kind of things, if at all possible, and go the natural route in every way possible in your life, every way possible. So consequently, I was afraid of drugs. I was afraid of wrecking my mind. I was afraid of things that were evil, because I think it's important to understand that we need to fear, you know, the right things. It's a good thing to fear the right things. Amen. You know, laziness and the love of pleasure can form a lot of ungodly habits. And so I remember Tom telling me that Tom's dad actually sat him down to tell him about the Proverbs woman. And there is a woman in Proverbs that's a wayward woman, that she calls and seduces you to come in. And then the Bible says, but in the end, it will lead to death. In the end, it will lead to death. So Tom's dad sat him down and said, you know, Tom, you know, it's the guy talk here. You know, there's going to be women out there that look really cute, but in the end, it's death. It's death. Okay? And so, you know, just tell them when they're young. Start talking to them about cute girls that think they're all hot stuff, you know. And the way you go with them, it's a way of death. You wait for God to bring the white, right, pure one along, and that's just the way it is. So start when they're really young. And, hey, you know, the wages of sin is death. So you can't play around with stuff like that. I remember Tom's dad was really firm about that with him. And he sat him down, and with the birds and the bees, it was also this other talk, you know. So, very helpful. Number six, godly habits like prayer, reading the word, praising God will change your life. So see what's most important to a person. You can look at a person and find what's most important to them by the way they spend their time and their money. That's important, Dad, that you teach them things like that. The way you spend your time and the way you spend your money. Okay? So godly habits are not formed in public schools. To be quite honest, I will say this. Public schools actually really compete with God's standards. They do, and you've got to understand that. They do compete with God's standards. And it's not a wise person to regard, you know, God's standards and say, here, I'm going to put you in a school with a bunch of children that don't understand God's standards, and there's no godly person in authority there who knows God, and say, yes, they're going to turn out beautiful. You're taking a huge risk. Huge. It's like playing Russian roulette in that situation, okay? And so what I believe is so important in this hour, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. We always have to remember this, that God has a moral community. Fathers, you need to step out and pay some extra money if need be. Work hard to pay some extra money so your children can have the very best education. That's a priority. That is a priority. Work really hard. Work really hard so your children can have a really good education. I'm talking about a Christian education. Okay? That's really, as a father, that is your main priority because you're the breadwinner. Okay? So work really hard and let your child have a great education because an education is the most important thing that you can give your children. A great education. Do the best you can. Children need a moral community. That's how they form their standards. Okay? Now, dads can compensate for any weirdness that goes on in a lot of the children's lives. Yes, they can, but they can't compensate for all of it because children still need a moral community. Okay? They need a place where it's safe, where they can understand truth, and you'll find children that... Man, whatever it takes, if it takes being a homeschool mom, do it. Do it. But don't put your child in a place where they're subject to all kinds of pornography, children that are disrespectful to authority. I mean, public schools, they don't say, you know, you should respect authority. They don't even have the Ten Commandments on their walls anymore. They don't. It's going downhill fast, faster than we can even recognize. I mean, probably in the day when Bill was a teacher, it was a lot better, but it's going down, 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 quicker, quicker, quicker. And so we've got to compensate. We've got to either homeschool these kids or get them in an environment that's a Christian education. And that's what we're doing upstairs. I'm telling you, all week I spent gutting out this room and make it into a place for school-age kids so that we are beginning to start that school age and pioneering it because more and more schools need to be raised up for this purpose. More and more schools need to be raised up for this purpose. And so children, they need this. Number 7, and I can't emphasize this one enough, please. Oh, my dad was really good at this one. My dad always taught me about how to avoid the hot dog mentality. He was a basketball coach at Milwaukee Lutheran High School, and he coached basketball, and I remember it was a great team that he had there. He loved basketball. It was his passion. He just always loved basketball. And so he would come home, and I remember him saying, this kind of planted in my brain. Some things I don't remember much, but I remember this really a lot. He would sit at the table with my mom, and we would talk about stuff, and he would say, I'm really wanting our team to be a team. I want a good team that really works together and gels. But there is this one guy that I've been talking to over and over again about following instructions, but he always wants to get the basket in. You know, he was the LeBron James. You know, he's the dude that's wanting to do the little showy things all the time, you know? And he was pulling his hair out because he keeps missing it, and he doesn't do anything in a teamwork. He's not a team player. And so he'd say, he's got a hot dog mentality. And that just kind of burned inside of me. I said, I don't want a hot dog mentality. You know, what's a hot dog mentality? And it's, he says, it's just a prideful attitude that I want to be seen. I want to be, you know, I want to be the best. And so one of the things that dads can do to correct that, because my dad was really good at, you know, if something was wrong, he'd apologize. You know, Pastor Tom's that way too. If something's not right, if he's done something that's wrong, he'll apologize for his mistake, and he'll make it up to the child. So don't try to cover things up. We're not perfect. Nobody is perfect. Nobody can be perfect, but we can have a perfect heart. And that perfect heart is one that will apologize. Humility brings great success. So God is with us, but sometimes I've seen single moms raising children, and they're crying out for help. You know, I think to myself, where is that dad? Where is that dad? I feel for all these single moms in our daycare. You know, where is the dad? Well, dad doesn't ever come to visit them. Oh, but dad doesn't have any part in their life anymore. Oh, and I think poor moms, they're having to carry all the ball. They're having to do everything, and it's so tough. So I thought, you know, hey, humility is important. We need to apologize for mistakes. Say we've made a mistake. We can go to our child and say, you know, and I've done this with Laurel, I'm so sorry. I should have been this way, or I should have been this way. This is the way that was right. I'm sorry. I was so busy, or I was getting involved in this, and please forgive me. Now say those words. Dad, say them out loud. It's hard sometimes for men to say that. It really is. It goes against that man ego. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing that a woman likes more in a marriage than having a man say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. So a child, they'll benefit from it equally as much, if not more. I'm very sorry, I made a mistake. Now, humility is probably one of the most important things that you ever have, because it will actually bring together parents, families, dads, children. They'll be stronger because of that. Laurel can testify, how many times have I asked for forgiveness? Amen. A lot, because we're not perfect. But I believe God is perfect, and he knows exactly how much we need forgiveness, and so he'll help us. Number 8, and I'm going to dwell on this probably more than any of the other ones, but positive words to affirm your children is essential. Positive words. Now, in the Old Testament, they had what was called a blessing, okay? The blessing was imparted. And if we see this in the Bible, it talks about Isaac. He passed a blessing on to his son, Jacob, but it was accidental. I know, you go, what? Yeah, it was accidental. Because actually, Jacob tricked him into the blessing. And he disguised himself up as Esau, the older brother. They were actually twins, but he came out first. Esau came out first. So he disguised himself as Esau and put hair on his body and went in and made a big pot of stew and put like some goat's sheep kind of hair or whatever on his arms. And he went in, and Dad, who was blind at the time, he was starting to grow blind. He was probably almost blind. He couldn't see who it was that he was blessing. And so he says, is this my son? Is this my son Esau? I'm going to bless the older brother. And Jacob said, this is Esau. He was lying. But then he was confused, because he says, you feel like you feel like Esau, but your voice sounds like Jacob. What's going on here? And so he did trick his dad. And his dad, he just trusted, you know, that this was right. And so he began to command a blessing of affirmation. He commanded a blessing onto his son. The words were out there. They were out there. okay? They said something. And then when he found out later that he was tricked and that Esau came in, you know, and said, ah, I'm ready, Dad, I'm ready for the blessing. He goes, oh, no, I gave the blessing already to Jacob? Now, think about it. The power of words. I mean, in our day, we'd probably go, oh, I made a mistake. Sorry about that. I blessed, you know, let me retract those words. Okay, I'll bless you too, and we'll forget about the other. But not in those days. And not in these days either. The power of words. Have you ever heard that? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's blasphemous. Because names can actually hurt children more than anything else. In our daycare, I've seen children come up and they go, so-and-so called me this, and how much it hurts, and they're crying. And I think to myself, you know what? We need to remember this. If you want your children to pass on this blessing of words, you need to be the person that affirms them and passes on the blessing to them through your words that are encouraging, that are gracious. And you can actually stop what the enemy is trying to do. The enemy is trying to bring your children down. He's trying to give them no hope, no way out, but encouragement is oxygen to the soul. Okay? So children can handle a lot of things, but the most important thing that they cannot handle is they cannot handle discouragement. I've seen that. When you put your child down, when you say that they're wrong, or when you negate something that they've done and make it appear to be nothing, it's just like a dagger in their spirit. It hurts so badly. And so, and this is what I'm saying to you as dads. As dads, this is what you want to do. You want to keep an open door policy with your children. That is so important. Keep an open door policy with your children that they can talk to you, okay? But how are they going to want to talk to you if you're putting them down? Are they going to want to go to you? Do you want to go to somebody that criticizes you? Okay, do you want to talk to them if they're criticizing you? Okay, so to dads, keep an open door policy with your children. Say words like, you know, I'm here to listen. Or just be there to listen. Just be there to linger. Okay, be there to linger. It's so vital. Because oxygen, it's encouragement is oxygen to the soul. I may not be able to do everything. You know, you can tell your children this, fathers. I may not be able to do everything right, but at least I'm there to understand. And as much as possible, I want to understand. I want to be there to understand. Okay? My dad was a counselor, and he was a pastor, and he was a counselor, and he'd have people always come to his office. And he was really a cool pastor. And when he turned into a teacher, he worked at Milwaukee Lutheran High School, and everybody called him Rev. Okay? Now, his real title was Reverend, you know, Reverend Carl Egloff. But he didn't mind being called Rev because he was a cool pastor. And all the tall, huge basketball players would come and call him, hey, Rev, how you doing? And there was something that was really cool about that. Rev, you know, it was respectful, but it was a little cool, all right? Something was nice about it. Something said, I believe in you, okay? Something said, I want to be there for you. You know, I'm here for you. And that is so vital, 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 vital. And number nine, this is the one thing that you don't really always understand. Maybe dads, you don't always get this. But one of the most important things that you ever do for your child in front of them is to love your wife. Love your your wife. I mean, love her. Children will disrespect you if you disrespect your wife. A lot of dads don't realize this. But if you love your wife, if you honor her, if you want to serve her and you live with her in an understanding way, the Bible says not only will your prayers be answered, and they won't be answered if you live with her in not an understanding way, but if you live with her in an understanding way, God says God will hear you and your children will bless you. They'll bless you. You want to win the favor of your children? Love your wife. Honor her, respect her, stick up for her, fight for her, serve your wife. My dad was really good at that. He still is to this day. My mom has a little bit of, she sometimes can't walk very well. My dad will be there. I mean, he's been there for her for like 10 years now as she's been working through this situation. He's carried her, he's walked with her, he's helped her walk when she couldn't walk. He served her. I remember growing up, my dad was really good at this. If my mom wanted to have new wallpaper, we got new wallpaper in our house. You bet. If my mom wanted wallpaper, she got it. And my dad would go to the great extent to do it, and that caused me to respect my dad. It's different how that works, but you got to know it's the truth. It really does work. Children will both respect you and understand that covenant love when you show loyalty and servanthood to your wife. Sons and daughters will have a tendency to treat their spouses the way you as a father treat your wife. Isn't that interesting? Sons and daughters will have a tendency to treat their spouses the way you, as a father, will treat your wife. Plus, even more important, fathers don't see this usually, but if a father degrades and criticizes his wife, puts her down, says stuff like, she always knots that, yeah, she always does that, yeah, why she always do that, yeah, look at her, there she goes again, blowing off her mouth, yeah, there she goes again. Oh, mom said I had to do this. Mom. And it's just, you know, mom's like the bad guy in the story. You know what your daughter's going to do or your son's going to do? They're going to disrespect you. You better believe it. It's the truth. Loving and encouraging and building up your spouse is important for your child to stay positive. Why do you think the Bible says this? Divorce actually causes violence in children. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a divorce, say like, okay, you're going to, you know, go away from me and we have this little paper. Divorce is, it's not just a paper. Divorce is when two people in the home are fighting, are at each other's throats, are criticizing one another, putting each other down. That's divorce. And you know what it causes in a child? The Bible says it, violence. Violence. So dads, the most important thing you can do is build up your wife and say, she's the best thing that sliced bread. She's awesome. She loves God. She's a great whatever. She can make a mean lasagna, man. She makes it the best. Man, her cornbread's outstanding. And the way she smiles and loves me, man, she'd do anything for me. I'm telling you, you got a good mom there. It's probably the most important thing you can do to earn respect. And dads don't recognize it. They don't always see that. They think, you know, they're going to expose their wife, and then their wife is going to be exposed, and then, oh no, then the children are going to lean towards the dad because he's perfect and he's lovely and he does everything right. They don't think that way. No, they don't. They don't think that way. So the most important thing dads can do, and I hope everyone can get this tape, is love your wife. Love your wife, dads. You know, loving and encouraging and building up your spouse is important. Why is it important? Why? Because, dads, when you got married, you became a team. okay? That's what you are. You're a team. You work it out together, all right? The sure way of having a bad relationship get worse or a good relationship growing bad is when the our mentality, our O-U-R, the our mentality turns into a me mentality. You know, me before you. Oh, brother. Me before you. That is really outrageously wrong. And once you get married, you become a team, sharing ideas. You work together. You talk about it. You know what? Selfishness and unforgiveness are the two things that destroy relationships worse than anything else. When you start to lose that our mentality and becomes me mentality, and then you compound that with not forgiving them for their mistakes, there you go. It's about ready for the tomb, you know. So we've got to remember that when we love each other, we work together, okay? It's an our mentality. God will protect you, moms. God will protect you if your husband is doing something squirrely. God will fight for you because he said that. He said he will protect the underdog. He always does. He always protects the underdog. But if your husband is doing something wrong, you stand up and you fight for that marriage. You fight for it. You be loyal. You praise your husband. You look to him and you honor him and you respect him. And do what you can do to keep the marriage strong, okay? So children learn. They learn how to treat people through that foundational relationship right there that they're looking at, mom and dad. They learn how to treat people. How do I treat my spouse? How do I treat my friends? It's the way my mom and dad are treating each other. Wow. Wow. Dad's Day? Yeah, this is Dad's Day. This is really Dad's Day. Uh-huh. And it's so vital. And number 10, practice what you preach. Woo-hoo, here we go. I think this is a woo-hoo one. Practice what you preach, okay? That's why, you know, calm parenting is so important because you want your children to be calm, but you're like going like this. They're not going to be calm unless you do what you preach. You know, and so calm parenting. Yelling at the kids is not going to accomplish the righteousness of God, dads. Okay? Yelling at them, yes, disciplining them. Yes, saying this is right. Yes, this is wrong. Yes, disciplining them, showing some consequences for bad behavior. Yes, there needs to be timeouts. There needs to be spankings. Yes, there needs to be privileges taken away. Absolutely. But in the same vein, if you say you want your children to love, then you love. Then you show them love. Then you read your Bible. You go to church. You have Bible studies together with them. Don't be afraid of saying the truth, okay? So you want your children to be truthful to you, but you're on the phone and you're lying to friends and they hear you? Uh-uh. Yeah. And that gonna work. Okay, so you've got to show and model, dads, what you preach, what you want them to be. You're lying to me. You went out and you know, you were off and running with your buddies and you lied to me. You came back and it's 12 o'clock and I asked you to come in at 10 and you snuck in. No, I saw you. You said you came in at 10, but I saw you. You came in at 12. You're lying to me. And then you're sitting there lying to your friends or your boss. That doesn't work, you see, because it's got to be modeled. And so your word is so good. You say what you mean what you say, and you want to be truthful. And then teach your children that truth is so important. It is the value that life depends on. There's got to be some high priority. There's got to be some morality. There's got to be a line of demarcation somewhere, and it's the Bible. The word of God. So don't judge them either, or you'll be judged. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't comment on some of their acts of behavior that's wrong. Okay? But dads, please do not do this. Please. This hurts me so much. I never heard my dad say this once. I never heard him say, "You're a bad kid." I never said that. You're bad, kid. You're bad. You're naughty. You're bad. I never heard him say that. Why? Because he wanted me to be an overcomer. So he prophesied what he wanted me to see. He wanted me to be. You know, you're good at this. My mom, oh, she was like, she was an ace at this, at showing mercy. Just saying what I could be, what I could be, what I could be. You know, and I was never a dumb kid. I was never stupid. And I was never kind of a person that you would, you know, put down. They just didn't put me down. And so it's not because I did everything right, because I didn't. But I didn't get put down. I remember once at a funny little occasion. I don't even know if my dad really knew about it, but my mom did. But I wanted so desperately to wear makeup when I was, I think it was like 11 or something. I wanted to wear makeup, so I wanted to wear mascara. And so I went out and got some mascara, and I hid the mascara, and I wanted the mascara to be on when I went to school, so I would put the mascara on, and I went to school with the mascara. And then when I came home, my mom asked me, "You have mascara on? You have makeup on?" "Oh, no. I don't have makeup on." You know, and she knew that I had makeup on. She knew, because my eyelashes are very, very light. She knew, okay, so I had mascara. And so she said, "No, you lied to me. You lied to me." And then you know what I got? I got a spanking. At 11 years old, I was 11 years old when I had my last spanking. And I'll never forget that spanking because it taught me that you don't lie. Not only that, you don't lie to your parents. For sure you don't lie, because they need to be treated with great respect. And I really believe that, you know, that was one of the areas where I grew in. And I'm very sensitive right now to lying. You know, I'll feel a little twinge in my heart if I want to tend towards, you know, a little bit of a white lie thing. The Holy Spirit says, "Remember what happened? Remember that spanking? No. You see? So the Bible says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, I want to show you in conclusion here something that has always been a very beautiful song to me. And I'd like it, could we show it right now? This was a song, and I'll then conclude after we watch this, but this is one of my favorite songs. I listened to this when I was young, but I'd just like you to see this video, and then we'll talk about it in just a few minutes.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, "I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you." And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't. The other day, he said, "Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?" I said, "Not today. I got a lot to do." He said, "That's okay." And then he walked away, but his smile never dimmed and said, "I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him." And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know. Just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Didn't you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'm feeling like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know. See you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, and we're gonna have a good time then.
One of the best, most prophetic songs I've ever heard is right there. It's a prophetic song. It is. It's a prophecy that your sons, your daughters, God says, fathers, you got a big responsibility. Okay? You really do. You really do. And so today, can we stand up together? And we're going to praise God that God will take whatever mistakes that we've made and turn them into miracles, because he can do that. He can turn you around. He can turn your life around. This is a church, really a church, a generation, a generational church, prophetically to reach out to children. We're a fathering church. You know, as we walk through the daycare, Pastor Tom's called Dad everywhere. All the children call him Dad. And that's prophetic because he's a father to many children. But I believe that this prophetic vision is spreading very rapidly, and it's going to many others in this congregation. This fathering generation, this fathering ministry, and this mothering ministry, it's going to many. But I pray specifically today for the fathers. Reach out your hand, dads. Reach it out to the Lord right now, okay? Reach it out to the Lord. And we're going to pray right now a blessing upon you. We're going to ask the Lord would bless you and keep you, that he would make his face to shine upon you. That he would lift up his countenance upon you, and that you would receive his peace, because God wants you to be able to walk in your calling today. You know what our primary calling is? It's to mentor people. Really, it is. Dads, it's to mentor other people to become awesome dads. Everybody can do that. You're called to mentor people, to be awesome dads. A generation. Maybe things that your dad never did for you, you can do for others now. Because you can learn from what never happened to you. You can learn now what's important and what you need. So I believe that today, as fathers, maybe some of you didn't have that presence of a father, and you really need it. Well, God is our father, and God knows exactly how to be a dad to us, so we can be a dad to others. So we praise you and thank you, Father, right now for that beautiful, beautiful fact that dads, they're the bomb. They're the bomb. Man, They can explode. They can make a house so beautiful just by walking in with their authority and walking in the Spirit and loving their wife and loving their children. Oh, man, so awesome. Father, we thank you right now for your love. And we pray the blessing upon each dad's that today is a day of miracles, a day where these children will become just like you. You call me your child. You call me your home. You call me into your